So welcome to This Week in Retail with Retail Touchpoints. I'm Debbie House, Editor-in-Chief of Retail Touchpoints, and I'm here with Alicia Fioretta, who's our Senior Editor, and the two of us are going to talk about some trending topics and what we're covering at Retail Touchpoints and some other interesting happenings in retail. Well, thanks for joining me today, Alicia.
Yeah, likewise. I'm really excited to kick off This Week in Retail.
So I guess one of the most important topics that we've been covering, certainly in 2013 and going into 2014, is social commerce and what's happening with social commerce. So to that end, we, for the third year, published a social commerce report based on a survey. This year we surveyed 97 retailers, variety of industry segments, variety of demographics as far as overall revenue, number of stores, et cetera. And we've had some interesting results, and probably not to the surprise of anyone here, more and more retailers every year are investing in social commerce. So according to our survey, we have up to 66% of the retailers we surveyed now have a social commerce strategy in place, and that's up about 6% from last year. So it continues to increase. And again, not to the surprise of anyone. Although, you know, the retailers are, you know, mixed as far as which platforms they're using, what their expectations are as far as income goes from social commerce. And the other part is some of the retailers who are not investing in social commerce, it's not because they don't think it's important. It's because possibly they have other priorities in place, or they feel like they don't have the expertise to implement a strategy. And it's so one of the lowest responses regarding why we're not implementing social commerce is budget. So that's kind of interesting. You know, so it's not that they feel like they can't invest in it. It's that they feel like they're not ready. So what are your thoughts on that, Alicia? Do you feel like it's a good idea for retailers to continue to wait and see, or do you think that they should, you know, try to go ahead and really jump into it if they haven't yet?
You know, what I find to be the biggest opportunity when it comes to social media is that at first you don't necessarily have to have all of these dollars, all this budget allotted to social media. I think it's something that, you know, brands and retailers can easily, you know, dip their toe in, you know, see how to build up their presence, you know, start an Instagram account, start a Pinterest account, and then gradually build up from there, see how their consumers or their followers start to respond, how they interact, and then they can invest as time goes on. So I think the opportunity in social in general is more along the lines of being accessible, being available to your consumer base, and building that dialogue. And I think a lot of retailers, like you said, across categories are mm-hmm. starting to realize the value for their specific business, for their target consumer base, because at the end of the day, it's no silver bullet. It varies from company to company.
Yeah. And the fact is, I mean, you make a good point. The fact is that shoppers, all consumers are on social media. And if you're not participating with them, then you're going to be behind the times. So, you know, you really do need to at least step your toe in, even if you're not completely investing in a social commerce strategy per se. You really do need to be involved in social media in some way or another. Thanks for that. So people should just take a look at our social commerce survey. There's a lot more in the report, and everyone can access that, of course, on the Retail Touchpoints website. So Alicia, there's some other reports that we're working on, and we just released part one of our payment report this week, and maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So as all of our readers know, all the retailers out there know, payment is such a hot topic, especially in regards to payment security, data security. And, you know, through this two-part feature, what I tried to do is sort of separate the topic into two parts. Part one, which you guys will be seeing this week, is more about that security conversation, specifically around the transition to EMV, which definitely seems to be picking up pace following all of the data breaches that we've seen at the end of 2013 with Target, Neiman Marcus. I think it definitely helped light a fire under a lot of retailers and really refocus their conversations. And that definitely seems to be the consensus with a lot of the sources I spoke with. So be on the lookout for that, you know, in terms of what's to come for EMV and payment security. And then definitely look out for part two, which is more about the mobile opportunity. So how retailers are looking for those all-in-one payment solutions that combine payment, loyalty, personalized offers to create that really cohesive and compelling customer experience. And there'll be some great retail examples in there as well. So stay tuned.
That sounds great. Yeah, and I think the EMV and security part is so important for retailers right now, because there still is some confusion around, so could have EMV prevented these data breaches? And the answer is not, you know, no, they couldn't necessarily have prevented certain types of data breaches, but they will create a much more, it will create a much more secure environment for retailers moving forward. And there's so many other topics and issues that you bring up in that report. So I think it's just really important for retailers to stay on top of this issue, especially as that October 2015 deadline approaches.
Yep.
Great work on that. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit and talk a little bit about, you know, what we see is trending in the retail industry right now. And I know the luxury market specifically has been kind of on the top of people's minds. Recently, Fashion Week happened. You did some coverage of the luxury market, and it actually is a really interesting segment of the industry to talk about, because there's so many, you know, there's some catching up to do, I think, that luxury retailers need to address. And I actually attended a forum and had a fireside chat with Scott McAllister from Tourneau, who had come from American Express and has been with Tourneau for about 9 months, but he's leading the charge in digital technology and digital marketing at Tourneau. And they, you know, while they still advertise in the New York Times and think that's important, they realize they need to focus on a digital strategy. So he talked with me in detail about some of the, you know, the upgraded search that they're doing, the upgraded CRM program that they have in place, and how they're really trying to gear up for, catching up kind of in terms of innovation and technology in retail. What are some of your insights on what's going on with luxury?
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point when, you're referring to the luxury market sort of accelerating their digital marketing strategies, almost becoming a little more accessible to consumers. And that's one of the things that came up in the Fashion Week piece, or Fashion Month piece I did, rather, since social media and mobile was such a large part of, you know, the fashion editors that attended. I mean, they were tapping into social, posting runway videos on Instagram. They were really the connectors to these VIP exclusive events. But what I noticed is a lot of these luxury designers and brands are also opening the doors to their consumers. They're posting behind the scenes photos, videos. I know Rebecca Minkoff was a really great example. She partnered with Keek, which is like a video app, video focused social network. And she basically gave that behind the scenes access, which her consumers really responded strongly to. So I think it's a really exciting time in the luxury space. And, you know, I remember reading a research study that talked about how millennials are actually going to be the next big luxury spender. So it kind of aligns with luxury brands' movement to social, mobile, these more intimate channels to engage with their consumers. What do you think? Do you think the luxury market is going to be, continuing to embrace these touch points moving forward?
Yeah, that's such a good point about the millennials, because there, you know, two good points I think you made it was, and one of them was about accessibility. And so with accessibility, you know, you expose your brand to more people in the marketplace. So it's not just, you know, the typical high-end luxury consumers of the past. And you're right, millennials, and, you know, you can speak to that probably a little bit better than me, but millennials are really, you know, they're interested in high quality merchandise and will make those luxury purchases in a much more considered way. So luxury marketers are going to be very wise to invest in innovative technology, in new technology, in digital technology moving forward, because that is going to be their new market. So, I completely agree with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in terms of luxury growth in general, I know we talked about earlier, Neiman Marcus is one retailer that's really focusing on expanding to different markets. We've just started seeing stories about them going into New York City, which is something that they've never done, surprisingly, considering New York City is such a monumental, monumental city when it comes to fashion and commerce. It's just a really culture-driven city.
They've been as close as the Short Hills Mall in New Jersey, right? I think maybe that's the closest.
Yeah, I think so. So I think according to the reports that we've seen, they're looking to open a store at Hudson Yards, which provides a great overlook to New Jersey, but it's still like on the, where is it, the Upper West Side. So, you know, it's a really, really picturesque area, and apparently it's going to be multi-level and up to 200,000 square feet. So it's going to be a really big location. So not a lot of news out there yet, but it's exciting to see, you know, a luxury retailer taking note of the industry and how it's growing and really taking advantage of that opportunity.
And they're really working on omnichannel as well, correct? We saw some announcements about Neiman Marcus combining their online and store brand strategy, I guess would be the best way to put it, right?
Yep, absolutely. Both of those teams are going to be merging together to create one core group. So it's not going to be, you know, those silo departments, as we like to say. So another great example for other retailers in the space to take note of and sort of see how they're evolving and take cues from them.
Definitely a retailer to watch in the next year or so, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think let's end with, I know you have an awesome app of the day to share with everybody. So I think maybe we can end our podcast this week with your take on the latest awesome app of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things about being a retail touch point that I really enjoy is learning about new technologies, new apps that are on the market to help make shoppers' lives easier, but also help, you know, serve retailers as well. So there's this one app that I learned about called Saver, and basically it's a sale and offer aggregation app. It's for iPad only. And what I like most about, you know, this experience is that it's very streamlined. It's almost like a series of catalogs. So depending on what type of product you're looking for, or if you're looking for a specific retailer, say for instance, I want to look for electronics. I just press electronics and you'll see the catalog is loading. And then it's like a magazine type experience. So you just flip through and then you'll see all of the different types of offers that are available. So you'll see Dell, Brookstone, Kohl's. So say I want to save $15 off $120 from Brookstone. So you just click on that. And then all it provides is the call to action. So copy this promotional code to save. And then you just click on go to Brookstone. And then it creates that seamless path to purchase by redirecting directly to the website.
Very cool. Very cool. So just on the iPad right now?
Yes, just on the iPad, because that seemed to be where their market seemed to gravitate to. And it makes sense because, you know, when you're on the iPad, if it's after work, you know, you're sitting on your couch, you want to unwind, you go on your iPad, do some shopping, check email. So it also speaks to like that magazine type experience as well. But I think it's definitely an app to look out for. You know, we're all shoppers at the end of the day. So if you want to save a couple of bucks, definitely look into it.
Thanks so much, Alicia. And thanks to everybody for joining us on This Week in Retail with Retail Touchpoints. And look for us next week. Have a great time.